step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
May is Maytag Month, and Menards is passing the savings on to you. You need reliable and energy-efficient appliances to conquer the day. Menards is your one-stop shop with appliances in stock and ready to take home today. Check out our top appliance brands, including KitchenAid, Maytag, Whirlpool, Amana, and Criterion. Save big money on Maytag appliances at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
The Burt Show.
There's a pay gap between mothers and childless women that we've been talking about. It's actually bigger than the pay gap between women and men. We also found out this morning that researchers found that the mother was 100% less likely to be hired when she applied for a position against a childless peer. Mothers were consistently ranked as less competent and less committed than non-moms. And when they were offered a gig, $11,000 a year less is what they got offered than the woman that didn't have kids. Now, Alicia says this is all stupid anyway because mom shouldn't be working. Hey, Alicia, good morning.
Yeah, this is not going to win me any friends with the feminist movement, but I don't think women that have kids should be working at all.
What about
I think it's disgusting. It's disgusting when people have kids and at 6 weeks old they put them in daycare for strangers to raise them. Why should men be forced to change their roles that evolution has created for thousands of years as protector and provider women can have it all?
That's hilarious.
Excuse me?
I said that's hilarious.
Well, you know, that's just how I feel. I've seen women, I have seen coworkers have to leave suddenly in the middle of important deadlines because their kid is sick. I'm not getting extra time off work because my dog has to go to the vet. You know what? Pay attention to your child because that is where your dedication should be.
Do you have
what
kids?
If it was a?
I'm sorry.
Do you have children?
No, I don't. I chose not to have children.
What if it was a family situation where, let's say, let's use Tracy and Scott as an example, and let's say Tracy, they had an agreement that Scott would stay home with the kids, but Tracy would work 9 to 5 and have a regular office job. Is that okay?
Yes, if there's a parent in the home with the child, I think that's fine.
But
when everybody wants
time.
To work so they can have a nicer car or bigger house and have some and have their poor child being raised by strangers, and then they wonder when the kid's in a when the kid's older and a teenager, who is his child?
But what if you're a single mother?
Well, then you should have been more careful.
You should have been more careful.
Seriously.
Wow.
You should have been more careful about what?
Not having a kid.
Then what if you're single, a widow?
No, not the widow, but what if your husband left you?
Well, actually, I am a widow. Unfortunately, I didn't have children before he died.
But what if your husband left you? And you're a mom and are there any exceptions to the rule?
Well, you can go to court and take care of things that way.
Oh, but I mean, there is absolutely no circumstance where there shouldn't be one of the parents in the home with the child.
No, there are always going to be circumstances where you can't have one parent in the home. But I'm saying when women have a choice to get pregnant or to have a career, I think they should choose the child over the career.
Tracy, what do you got? I mean, you're about to have a child.
I mean, I don't agree with her, obviously, because I'm choosing to have a career too. But I will be completely honest and say I don't think, I mean, for me, there has been times where I wonder if I'm less of a mother because I'm choosing not to be at home. I mean, I'm going to choose to work. And I mean, financially, I have to continue working. And career-wise, I think I'd be bored if I stayed home all the time. But then it's like you read all these mommy blogs about, like, you know, all the play groups that they do and all the things that they're doing with their kids during the day. And you do wonder, like, am I less of a mom because of that?
Boy, did Stacey struggle with that. She struggled with that thought because she thought that she was going to work when we had Hayden also. And she had tremendous feelings of guilt about going to work and having Hayden in daycare or whatever.
But it goes along with the same argument. I mean, I don't think is a man going to feel that way? Has a man mm-hmm. ever thought to mm-hmm. himself, like, no. Am I less of a dad because I have a job?
I'm sure there are some, but as a general rule, no.
And, you know, and, so I think and women have to make that choice. I mean, on the other end of what Tracy said, I mean, Katie and I have had this conversation. My fear of being a mother is I lose my identity. Like, I don't, you know, the fact that I'm considering being a mother is one thing, but I don't want to have to trade off being Melissa Carter to mm-hmm. being so-and-so's mother. In all honesty, I have a hard time with that.
And heaping that stress on top of the stress you're already feeling for the digital transition. It's just
I'm telling you. I mean, I've only got a couple days. But anyway, so, but I do, and I think for women, I think it's unfair that women have to go through that mental process and men don't, because men don't have to lose their identity, lose their job. They can have everything. They can have their identity, their job, a higher salary, and kids. And a woman doesn't have that as easily.
But I think it's another conversation for another time. I don't entirely agree with that.
And I think it's changing over time. I mean, if you think about it, and we've talked about this on the air before, like, I mean, most of the homes that we grew up in were very traditional gender roles still. My parents were very traditional gender roles. Their grandparents, I mean, this is really the first generation of women that has always grown up with the potential of birth control. With the potential of not having to have children.
Hear that, Tracy? Birth control.
But you know what I'm saying? I mean, I think that we can expect change, but it's not going to happen overnight. And it's not going to happen just in one or two generations of people to completely change the mentalities about all of it. But it is changing. I don't think that we're stuck in the 1950s anymore. But I also think in 50 years from now, it's going to be a whole lot different. I think there's going to be a lot more co-parenting. And that's where I think the battle is going to be between men and women with children and men and women without in the workplace.
Here's Ty, and he says we're missing the point entirely. Go ahead, Ty. You're on Q100.
Hey, how's it going, Bert?
Good. Thanks for calling, man.
I appreciate it. Yeah, I mean, honestly, I'm going to digress a little bit because I heard one of the other women that came on that did not have any children, you know, kind of looking down her nose a little bit at those of us that do, you know, and her. I definitely think she was missing the point, thinking that people were working, you know, dual income families just so that they could have nicer cars and things of that nature. She's clueless. I think that for most families that have children, they're finding it both members of the families have to work just to make ends meet. Mm-hmm. And also believe that, you know, if you're wanting things extra, usually it's for the kids. You want them to be able to play sports. You want them to be able to, you know, go to a nicer school, you know, that type of thing. And I definitely don't see a problem with that. But my original point was that goes back to the fact that generally speaking, men are making more money than women are for the same job. And a lot of this role can get reversed within families, and I've actually seen it happen. But for the most part, with both couples working together, they actually have to figure out which member of the family is A, making more money, who has the insurance. Is there a specific job that requires travel? And base the decision, basically making like a disposable job. Mm-hmm. One job is more important to keep than the other one is. So that parent winds up doing more of the, I'm going to the PTA meetings or you know, picking this kids up from school and having to leave work early and that type of thing, going to the doctor's appointments. You know, with myself and my wife, we actually have a little bit more of a comparable income, so we kind of both do those things. But like I said, I've seen the roles reversed where, you know, it was actually the woman was really the sole breadwinner in the family, and even though the husband worked, he was the one actually having to take off and do most of the stuff just because her job was more important to the family for her to keep her job.
All right, Ty, hold on one sec for us. Got to get to other calls. I think it's a general rule, though. It's the woman that's kind of, she's running out.
Question for the guys in the room.
Yes.
Is that an honorable thing for a guy to do?
What's
in
that?
Your mind? If he's the one, like say you guys have a married couple, got
right.
a kid.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Wife makes more money. Guy mm-hmm. picks up the slack and does more of the parenting.
Mm-hmm.
Is that an honorable thing to you or do you look down on him?
Honorable.
I think it's honorable.
Yeah.
I would think
Just
it's cool.
Curious.
I would make fun of him.
Yeah.
But I would think it's cool.
It would.
Like I would call him Mr. Mom and stuff.
If I were being honest, though, if Scott didn't work from home, like if his job physically was not at the house and he was the stay-at-home father and I was working, I don't think I'd like it.
Really?
Why?
Because I think that would make me feel even worse. Like I'm not, let me say for the record, I don't think my feelings are correct. I'm just saying that this is how I feel. Mm-hmm. That for me, I think I would feel bummed and upset that she needed him more than she needed me. Mm. And that she, like, it already bothers me.
It's not
me.
That she needs him. It's just that he's the available one.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it already bothers me because since he does work from home and I get to work so early that he is going to be the first person she sees every single morning. And that already bugs me.
I do think it. I mean, in the scenario where if one a parent is not as available as the other, I do think that makes an influence on the kid. But from a more extreme case.
How's that feel, Tracy?
No, not necessarily Tracy's case, because he's working from home and she's working. And I do think that with Tracy and Scott, it's a different scenario than what I'm thinking of. I'm talking about the dad or the mom, either way, that works all day long, that has gone, you know, works that 18-hour day, and the other parent is there 24/7 for mm-hmm. that child. That does influence that child, and the child sees the parents differently and has a different bond with the parents differently. And that's why when, you know, Jen brings up co-parenting, I hope for that, so that every child can be equally as bonded with their mother and father, or whatever, you know, home they're a part of. In my home, it'll be two mothers. Than it just being one parent overly there for the child and the other one always gone.
And I think we're fortunate because of the hours that I, you know, that my job requires, where I can get here so early and then, you know, halfway through the day, typically I'm done or I can be working from home. So he'll have her in the morning, and then as soon as I get home, that's when he'll shut the door and he'll start working, and then I have her all throughout the afternoon. So it will mm-hmm. be like a co-parenting thing, but if it were him doing most of the parenting, I think I'd feel bad about it.
Good morning. Chris wants to be on The Voice Disguiser. Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, I'm married. I have a kid in the oven, one's here, and we both work. We're workaholics. You know, we have a guilt. We are great parents in some respects, and the guilt never goes away. And I just think that, you know, what the caller said, I think she was very extreme, and she knows she was extreme. She was conceding, you know, in certain situations you should change it. But for Melissa and Jen, I mean, I'm not trying to attack you. You guys don't have kids. I think you guys respect that. You know it's not necessarily fair for you to comment. But in the end, change is good. If change is for an improvement, and, you know, no one should go back 50 years. I think there should be progress. People should get paid what they bring to the table. I mean, if they bring value and you're more productive than someone else, you'd hope, you know, that's how you get paid. But that's not how it works, and life isn't fair, and we should still try and change. But there's no question, if you can have a parent or a family member in the home to raise the kids versus not, you should. You just should. If you can, you should. And I think that's what she's saying. And I think when you start attacking someone for having opinions that is, you know, I want the mom to be in the home or whatever, I just don't think that's fair to do. And I don't think, especially when you don't have kids. And that's all I wanted to say.
Well, I appreciate that. I mean, it's true, Jen, and I don't have children, but it's also true that from your perspective as a man, you don't understand where we're coming from as women. You know what I mean? So our opinion is coming based from that study talking about how it's done in the workplace and at home, and Jen and my decision in our minds, as well as Tracy's, about having a family and the decision making we have to make on whether to have children, because we're all three professional women. And I think that's where our comments stem from.
Well, and my comments towards that woman was towards a woman who also didn't have kids.
No, that's true.
And she, yeah.
That's true.
I mean, I'm confused on where he's coming from that.
And she felt very strongly that.
She felt very strongly about it, but she didn't have kids. Anyway, whatever.
The Burt Show.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
So I was hanging out on Saturday night, and I went up to the lake alone because Jessica was doing a girls' weekend. So I was by myself, and I went to a bar by myself. It's okay, though. And there was a...
I wasn't sad.
There's nothing wrong with that. Yourself.
Were you the guy at the end of the bar?
It depends on what bar you're going to by yourself.
Yeah, no, it was... Yeah, well, you guys have been there. It's just a little bar on the lake, you know, so whatever.
I like that one.
But it's a very, you know, it's the small town neighborhoody vibe of the whole thing. So while you don't really have friends, like kind of everybody's familiar. You know what I mean? Like a small town bar, you know, you know everybody, whatever. So there's like these regulars who I couldn't even tell you their name, but they're definitely like
fixtures at the place.
Yes. They're all probably like 30, 35 years old. I think they, you know, kind of fix boats and jet skis on the side type of deal. The kind of guy you can go up and give like $60 to and go, hey, man, engine's sounding weird. You know, can you whatever? And they'll tear the whole thing apart and give it back to you and go, hey, not only did we get it fixed, but we've revved it up. You can now go 170 on your jet ski. And if you push this button, it'll shoot flames. You think that's the greatest. You know what I mean? Those right. type of guys, right? So
go dogs!
Yeah. So they're all hanging out there. And they know I work in radio down here, so they call me radio. For either because of the radio
that's
thing
funny.
Or because of Cuba Gooding Jr. and that movie.
I was
going to
say,
so,
that movie, yeah. you got to remind me of that, too.
So the guy says...
hey, radio!
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny. Did you push her on a shopping cart around?
So I'm hanging out there, and I'm talking to a couple people I do know, and I somehow end up in a conversation with one of these guys. And he tells me a story that I fully... think he was joking and like not serious, but found out by the end of it, which was only like a 15-20 minute conversation, by the end of the conversation there's no doubt in my mind that he was completely serious. He has thought this out and he wants to execute this plan.
Okay.
Got married about 2 years ago. Sick of his wife, but he loves her. Just doesn't want to be married to her anymore. He's just not into it, right?
He loves her. He's just not in love with her.
Yeah.
Whatever.
So he's like, you know, not, you know, he's, he spends over amount of time prefacing the story with, I got to understand, I've known her since I was 21. And he tells the whole story about how they ended up married, right? Mm-hmm. But he wants to end it. But the problem is her family, and she has a very big family and a lot of influence and a lot of people now. He would be completely ostracized, run out of town.
Do they have children?
Should no kids, I don't think. But he would be completely run out of town should, you know, he file for divorce. Like
he would never fix another jet ski ever again.
Right, like that.
Not
would,
in this town, not on this lake.
That would be the end of it. So here is his plan.
Okay.
And he is actively, well, the drunk him was actively putting this plan into motion.
Okay.
He would like to hire someone to have an affair with his wife.
What?
For what reason?
Because then it's her fault. And he wouldn't be ostracized. So
she would.
Still...
Nope, she'd be okay. I asked him that.
This is,
she'd
okay.
be
so
okay because
she
has an influential family who already doesn't care for him, so they would understand.
Okay.
And they would almost feel bad for him.
This is the equivalent of when you're dating and you make it so difficult for the woman that you're going out with to be around you, that she ends up breaking up with you
because
you're too—he's too much of a coward to start the divorce. So he is setting her up.
He's trying to save
his bad guy.
He's trying to save his reputation.
Yes, I asked him that. I said, "Well, aren't you just—I mean, you're just looking for the easy way out. Why don't you just start being a pain, like around the house, whatever drives her nuts, you know, like whatever it is. If you know, just stop flushing the toilets. Just start doing stuff that you know causes her to lose her mind." And she's like, "That you don't understand." And then he would over-explained the family situation where she has such a big network of friends and family and all this stuff. So, like,
that was so exciting, too. When he married into it, he was like, yeah. God, this is the greatest right. ever.
I'm yeah. set for life.
Jackpot. Yeah. Her family's wealthy and influential, and she knows everyone.
And it was
this
only 2 years ago.
two years later,
it went from
like,
there to this.
This is horrible.
So, apparently, sometime in the last few months, he has seen a television show or a movie or something like this with some similar plot line and is convinced he could do it. He is...
he want you to do it, radio?
No.
Radio.
Did he ask you to sleep with his wife? And yeah, did you do funny. It? I mean, you were alone.
Well, I asked him enough questions because I thought, you know, it was like I thought he wasn't serious about it. But he has, as soon as he found someone who's willing to do it, he's got a part-time job lined up. It's a construction gig. The guy will pay him $125 a week to work like two nights to move sand, literally. And, he will give that $125 a week to pay for the guy to go, like, take his wife out.
How much does he charge him for that?
To do all the stuff. $125. That's how much you get paid.
You said a week.
Yeah, so however long it takes for there to be a full-fledged affair.
So this, whoever...
Oh, well, dude, well, I would drag that
out. I know,
out.
Right? 3 years.
Yes! I get bank on this one. Dude, she's a little tough to crack, so it's going to take me a little longer.
So for $125 yes. a week.
He's already got the job lined up to do it. And his buddies over there, like, you know, they're all talking, except for one of them who's the most drunk every now and again would lean in and go, he's serious, you know?
Damn, really?
Uh-huh. So he
so had he approached the guy yet?
He doesn't know. That's why he started talking to me. Asked
the
if
guy
I knew,
doesn't know.
He asked if I knew anyone in Atlanta who might be interested in the gig.
I think maybe he was recruiting you.
Because they live in...
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I think maybe he took a look at you. Nah, same way I did this morning when the sun was beating down on your face that way. And he sees an angel.
Yes, oh, my God.
That is freaking me out. You know, you're going to have to stop.
It would be really, really cool if you stopped saying that.
Okay. I don't want to hide the way I feel. Go on, though.
So,
save that.
So, yeah, so he was asking.
I love how uncomfortable Jeff's gotten.
Yes. Just trying to tell a story about the redneck.
I think that's fascinating. And I wonder if he woke up the next day thinking that was the dumbest idea ever or the best idea ever.
I was probably thinking a radio guy in Atlanta, his net is way wide.
Yeah, well, he's not.
And your people wouldn't know the people that, you know, in the small town. So he needed an outside recruit.
Yeah, I don't think he is. I don't think he's waking up the next day, because if you go by what his friend said, like, he's been talking about this ever since he saw the TV show or movie or whatever it was that had it in it. He's like, oh my God, and like called his buddies and everything. And then the next time they came down, they lived like in Asheville, North Carolina or something like that. Next time they drove down on their jet ski trailer fixing trip to make some cash money.
The Burt Show.
Oh, dude.
Yeah, in a situation like this, you only have one shot.
One shot. One opportunity. Sees everything you ever wanted. One moment.
So there Frank was going out this weekend. Said she was hot. Just
let it, he said she was banging.
Banging. This is how he was feeling driving over the restaurant. Mom's spaghetti. He's nervous, but on the surface he looks calm and ready to drop palms. But he keeps on forgetting what he wrote down. The whole crowd goes the words won't come out. He's in the car and he's going over to the restaurant. He's getting all these feelings. He's nervous and he's got one shot at this. If she's that good looking, you got one shot at it. Frank, when we talked to you on Friday, it seemed to us like you were going to be just fine, man.
I appreciate it. And boss, if you're listening, it's not my fault I'm late. Jeff strong armed me.
You did.
Sorry, boss.
So what happened on Friday or Saturday night?
I had an appointment reschedule, and I didn't get home till like 9, so I rescheduled early in the day, and I called her. Said, hey, you know, we're going to have to do this at a later time. I'm sorry. She was really cool about it. You know, amicable. You know, everything's cool. Everything's cool. So I was like, well, I'll get back to you later on in the week. We'll just do it sometime this week. Maybe, you know, we don't have to wait till Friday. Actually, she said that. She's like, you know, we don't have to wait till Friday. I was like, well, that's a good thing. All right. So I see her friend on the lake the other day. And she's like, no one ever really cancels on her. And I was like, well, sorry. Work.
Okay. It's a really good
move. The bills.
Great move on your part.
So it really was work?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it really was.
It just worked out nicely that way.
But it does work out nicely. So. That's a good move.
And she even acknowledged it.
Yeah.
She even said, no one has ever done this. This is beautiful.
Well, no, she didn't say it. Her friend.
Oh, her friend did.
Her friend
Which
that
means
he saw
they
on
were
the lake.
Talking about it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right.
That's what I thought.
It's perfect.
Dude, you are lining this one up.
I got blocked by work, but it wound up working.
Yes.
I'm very, very happy for you.
That's
I
awesome.
I appreciate it. I mean, it's, I think it'll be better in the end, I think.
And I like the fact that she responded by saying, well, we don't even have to wait till Friday, you know? So
I didn't I guess that is a good thing.
When are you going to take her out?
Sometime this week. She called me last night, but I was already asleep and didn't get it to this morning.
So she called last night and you couldn't answer.
And he didn't pick up. It's perfect. It's all lining up perfectly, because now she calls, he's not available. This is great!
It's like Eminem at the shelter or wherever they were at
in the bathroom. You guys were playing that song.
Well, make sure you're listening at 8:45 as we talk to Jada Pinkett Smith about the secrets of a good marriage.
8:45, I can do that.
All right, perfect, because that's the next step, clearly, here, because she is definitely going to want to marry you.
Now, I think no matter what, come hell or high water, you have to, if you make a dinner date with her on Wednesday night, you can't cancel that one because then it's
too No, not at all. Yeah.
And I feel strongly about that too, but I'm not going to use an old man's phrase to indicate that. And make sure you don't take any wooden nickels on that date.
You got your six shooter?
All right, Frank, good luck, man. You're fine.
All right. Steven, you recognize my voice.
Who that?
It's a coworker.
My friend, he called me at like 8. He was like, hey, do you have a date tonight? And I was like, you really recognize my voice, didn't you?
Oh, that's funny.
Well, now you're a hero, dude. In your circle, you're a hero.
Yes.
Congratulations, man.
Later, guys.
Nice job.
Wow.
Works out
dude,
very
I was,
nice.
I was listening to the 5:30 Club this morning. You might need an eldervention, Bert. You started out with get on the horn. Come hell or high water.
It's two old world, old school phrases in the course of 3 hours.
Don't fight it, but we just all become our parents.
Don't say that.
No!
The Bert Show.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Britt, you're back.
What's going on?
Welcome home.
You're in one piece, at least physically.
It's like rocking music bed. I really like that there.
Well, pumped
up.
Back.
Hey, what's going on?
You tell us, man. This is going to be stressful. For those that weren't listening the Friday you took off, just give a... I know it's a complicated family history, but if you had to do it.
I wasn't raised by my mom. I was raised by her parents, and I was sort of in touch with her on and off my whole life. I've been a lot closer to her since I was about 18, 19 years old, but not... I've probably only seen her half a dozen times since then, you know, and I'm 30 now. So the last time I saw her was in 2004, the summer of 2004. I went and visited her, and that went... okay. You know,
what do you mean by okay?
I think usually what happens when I go to see her is the first day goes fine, the second day goes fine, the third day we have some giant blow up fight and everybody's reduced to tears and she says I'm sending you home, and then somehow we work it out and the rest of the visit
I'm
goes
sending
okay.
you home sounds so 7 year old.
I got that again this time. It was good.
She threatened to send you home.
No tears this time, though. So I have just.
It's sending evolving.
You. I'm dismissing you. I'm
sending you home. It's like when you're at camp and you do something wrong, they send you home to your parents.
If you wear
from school.
Yes.
Yeah. I've learned to deal with her a lot better. That's basically what I learned from this visit is that I personally have grown up a lot, even if she hasn't. So I wish that it was a more exciting story. I wish I had some like huge, like this happened and then I said this and she said that. But it wasn't a great visit, but it wasn't a terrible visit. Nothing awful happened.
Was it about 3 days in when she was going to send
was,
you home?
Yeah. It was, yeah. It always is. The thing is, you know, as soon as I got there, I knew she was real uncomfortable. She was really uncomfortable the whole time.
Well, she didn't even come to the airport to pick
she
you up.
She didn't come to the airport to pick me up. And, the funny thing is I got there to their house and I got out of the car and I went up and I was going to give her a hug and she turned around and walked into the house and I was like...
What?
Okay. Mm. And then I walked up to her in the house to give her a hug and she was saying something else and I'm like... Can I hug you? And then she's like, oh, right. You know?
She just doesn't know how to do it at
no,
all.
No, she doesn't
huh?
know how to do it. And that's the thing. You know, wow. it just makes her real, real uncomfortable. And, you know, the whole first day that I was there, she kept saying, well, you really shouldn't have come. You should have stayed home. I got a new dog. I got a new rescue dog. She kept saying, you should have stayed home with your dog. And you should have done that, you know. And I don't know why you wanted to come here anyway, because you're just going to be bored. And I'm like, are you trying to still convince me to not come? Because... I'm here.
Yeah.
Now.
Too late.
Right. So,
well, I mean, here's what you told us about your mom is that, I mean, she was, she's always been uncomfortable being a mom. She doesn't know how to do it. So if she didn't know how, I said this to you before, if she didn't know how to do it then, why would she all of a sudden know how to do it now?
Yeah. Well, and because of that, I think she's always been kind of uncomfortable with my interest in her. You know what I mean? Like if she's uncomfortable with being a mom and I'm looking at her and going, be my mom now. Okay, do it. Which I'm not, but she feels like I am. And she doesn't know what to do. So, you know, the whole time I was there, she was really uncomfortable. She was very self-conscious. She kept saying, oh, you probably hate our house.
every meal it was like, oh, you probably hate this food, and it was like, no, it's fine.
It sounds like a combination of the not wanting to be a mom and then still caring about what you thought, though. I mean, I think it's like this really weird mixed message.
Yeah.
You know?
To me, it sounds so alien life form that I'm fascinated by how in Bert's mom's life, like there are a lot of people that think she's really normal, like in her career life and all of that kind of
like
stuff.
Like her patients.
Like her patients.
Patients, yeah.
Oh, Lord.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like, but in your family life, I think she's so alien. So like, is your mom in the same way? Like she's...
No.
No.
Nobody really thinks she's that normal, I don't think.
Well, my mom has done, it's a little bit, that's a little bit misleading, because in my opinion, my mom has surrounded herself with people just like she is. So if you're an alien amongst aliens, then you're the normal one.
You're normal.
Right. My mom has done that to a degree, but the thing is, she doesn't, you know, I used to think that there was a possibility she would come visit me here, and I a lot of times I'll think, oh, I should take my mom this place. She would really like this. So she'd really like to come and meet all my pets because she loves animals. But after being there, I don't think there's any way I'm going to see her.
But you said
here,
she is.
She's not going to come visit me at all. When people come, my stepfather has friends around in the area, in the neighborhood and things. When they come over to the house, she goes upstairs. She doesn't want to talk to anyone.
Well, she's got social anxiety of some sort, right?
Yeah, she does. Yeah, for sure. So she was just uncomfortable the whole time. And then she started saying things like, well, you just sprang yourself on us. Well, you just showed up here uninvited. You know, and I was like, well, I asked you if I could come. And she said, well, you know, you're my daughter. What am I supposed to say? Am I supposed to say no? And I said, well,
Those words literally came out.
Yeah. I said, well, you could have told me it was a bad time. If it's a bad time, you could have said that and I wouldn't have come. That's why I asked you in the first place, you know. But all of these things that she says, you know, in the past definitely would have really upset me, you know, telling me that I was there uninvited. And this time I was just like, yeah, whatever.
Because she's consistent with it. And it's this, like this still defense hurts. Mechanism.
And she never stopped the whole time I was there. And she would be so uncomfortable. I actually spent a lot of time just hanging out in my room, just reading and doing other stuff, you know. And I would give her a generous amount of time every day to just be by herself.
Here's the problem. Like, you and I are going through sort of the same thing with our parents also. I haven't talked too much about it on the air just because it's so complicated. And it just feels so... 17-year-old, but like I keep lowering the bar for my parents, lowering it and lowering it and lowering it to a point to where like it's not acceptable anymore.
Yeah.
Like just because they're your parents, it's just not acceptable for them to hurt you, or you can't lower it so much to where you're like, okay, go ahead, do it. That's just who you are. Go ahead and hurt me and my family.
That's absolutely how I feel about my dad. And I think my mom, I've just gotten to the point where I'm like, I accept anything you're going to do at this point. And
you can't.
Whatever. Well, you know, I don't know.
Does it hurt you? I mean, when she says things like this and
in the past, if this were 5 years ago and I was there and she said something like, well, you just showed up here uninvited, I would have felt really bad. I would have felt like, oh, my God, I'm here and they don't want me here. But now I can look at her and see she's just really uncomfortable. She's just really self-conscious. You know, she doesn't know how to act. She doesn't know what to say. She doesn't know what to do. It's not about me. It's about her, you know? Mm-hmm. And I can just go, okay, well, you need some time to yourself.
It's a really mature perspective.
And there's
no place on this show.
Yeah.
It's really, really.
We would have known this was your take.
You're the grown-up and she's the child.
Well, and the sad thing is that, you know, I left and I could tell that she was sad when I was leaving, you know, and the whole visit, I was there and we didn't, well, we talked a little bit. We didn't really talk a ton. It was very superficial kind of visit. Like we ate every day and we watched some TV and then I went home, you know. And like I say, I gave her a lot of time on her own every day. And I left and I saw a Twitter message from her when I got home that night that said, I don't know why, but every time the kid leaves, I cry or like I sob for an hour straight. And it's like, well, that's really sad that she cried after I left. But why wasn't she more?
Well, she might have
said
the
same thing that Jeff was saying, is that she doesn't know how to interact with people when they're one on one in front of her.
It's almost so unfair to you that's a little bit like using a golf analogy. Like you play 17 holes of golf and you suck, and then you play one hole where you do it just so well
that
it keeps bringing you back. Mm-hmm. Like you weren't even having fun for five days; it was awful. Well, and then when you leave, you see the pain in your mom's eyes. So all of a sudden, you're like, "Well, I got to."
But at the same time, it wasn't terrible. It wasn't like I hated it. I wasn't that uncomfortable, even though she was uncomfortable. comfortable. I was like, well, I'm just going to be here. And, you know, my stepfather is, we get along fine. So I would just talk to him and at least I can, you know, commiserate with him a little bit. And she did say one thing she said that was really funny before I left was that she told me that she had been lonely all week because usually her and I talk online every day.
Huh.
And
so you're right in front of her? And
she told me that she had been lonely all week because she hadn't had me online to talk to. I'm like, I'm right here.
Maybe you should have IM'd her from the other room.
Yeah, totally. So, but
wow.
It wasn't terrible. It wasn't great. I think that probably from now on, at least for, you know, the next couple of years, it's better for us to have like an online relationship. And if in another 5 years I feel compelled to go visit her again or try to make it work out again, then I'll probably go visit her and see if anything's changed, you know.
And then you get to the point where you realize she's not going to change. Right. So you work out with what you got.
I don't know that she is. I'm not expecting her to at this point. I'm just leaving the possibility open. And I don't know. You know, like, I'm fine with it. I went. I did what I could do. I made my effort. And
yeah, you did what you could.
Right. Absolutely. Congratulations.
If you want to talk to Brittany, she's on after 10 o'clock. Or you can Facebook her also. Or you can go to our website at
Q100. You can Twitter me, Q100 Brittany. You can IM me. You can call me on the phone.
The Burt Show.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.